My Life in Christ, Book 2, starting page 118. In ministering the sacrament of penitence, one feels one's own most miserable sinfulness before God, and all the misery, ignorance, and sinfulness of human nature. Confession is a cross, truly a cross, of what a debtor before his spiritual children a priest feels himself to be during confession. He truly feels himself to be an insolvent debtor, a debtor guilty before the heavenly truth and deserving thousands of fires of Gehenna. One sees and feels at people's deep ignorance, at their ignorance of the truth of religion and of their sins, at their stony insensibility, that a confessor must pray for them most fervently and teach them day and night, early and late. Of what ignorance! Some do not even know the Holy Trinity. They do not know who Christ is. They do not know why they live upon the earth, and what a multitude of sins. Yet, meanwhile, we seek enrichment, rest, we dislike labor, we become irritated when there are more of them than usual. We seek spacious abodes, rich clothing. Let us not love earthly rest. Let us not become slothful. Let us not be negligent in the performance of our spiritual duties, and let us not deprive ourselves of heavenly blessings and rest. For having tested the worldly rest in abundance here, what rest can we look for there? The most holy Trinity is the most perfect union of three persons in one being, because it is the most perfect equality. He truly bestows charity who gives from his heart and with a loving heart. He is truly merciful who converses with everyone heartily and not only with the intellect and lips, who renders sincere, hearty respect to everyone, who preaches the word of God and serves God with a true heart, not hypocritically, in a word, who embraces all and carries all in his heart by love, despising everything material that may become a hindrance to love between himself and his neighbor. Such a one is truly merciful. In order to prevent our corrupt nature from being allured by the temporary sweetness of sin, the Lord has so ordained that the most agreeable sensual pleasures upon which we greedily throw ourselves be injurious to us, both by their nature and through our own greediness and intemperance, such as almost all dainty dishes, all agreeable drinks, all sensual pleasures. Glory to the mercy and great wisdom of the Heavenly Father, who uses every means to prevent us from falling into sensuality or the coarse pleasures of sensuality, who has spiritual eyes to see and ears to hear all this. Let him see and hear, St. Matthew 13:9. Thus Christians, the very injuriousness of sensual pleasures, which are destructive to our body, shows that we are not created and do not live upon earth for them, but for higher spiritual and eternal pleasures. And therefore, my soul rejoices and finds peace in God. This is thy perfect, harmless, true, and eternal enjoyment. This doubt has already experienced many times. While all earthly pleasures are delusive, injurious, fleeting, and bear in their very origin the gems of corruption the moment we approach them. Sufficing and maladies are proofs of this. Suffering and maladies are proofs of this. brother, you feel a deadly malice in your heart against your neighbor. You are tormented by evil thoughts from the offenses he causes you. Here is the means of saving yourself from inward straitness. Represent to yourself the multitude of your own sins, countless in their number, and vividly imagine how the master of your life bears them in you, how he daily and endlessly forgives you your sins if you pray to him sincerely, whilst you yourself do not wish to forgive your neighbor a few fits of passion excited in him by the devil. Sigh, weep if you can at your own foolishness, condemn yourself only and not in any way your neighbor, and the forgiveness of the Lord will be ready for you. Your inward straitness will vanish like smoke, your thoughts will become clear, your heart will become calm, and you will again walk in freedom of heart. Train yourself to meekness. Be as though you did not hear reproaches, calumny, affronts, as if they were heard by somebody quite different or by your own shadow. Do not allow any suspiciousness. I have walked innocently, Psalm 26:1. While the ungodly is in my sight, I held my tongue and spake nothing. I kept silence. I become even as a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth are no reproofs. Again, Psalms. Christ is the bread of life. Therefore, let us lay aside our care about other bread. The God who gives us the body and blood of his Son for our food and drink will likewise give us natural bread. He who clothes our soul in Christ will likewise give us material clothing. He who deigns to dwell in us will not deprive us of a perishable dwelling. To doubt in the divinity of the Holy Spirit means to doubt in our own life, for the Holy Ghost gives life, and spiritually feeds all, serves as a spiritual son, as air, food, and drink to our souls. It means to reject prayer, for we pray through the Holy Ghost. To reject truth and holiness, for the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth and of all holiness. To reject every spiritual consolation and comfort and sorrows and sicknesses, for the Holy Ghost is a true and only comforter, together with the Father and the Son. To reject faith, for faith is given by the Holy Spirit. To reject hope and love, for hope and love are likewise bestowed upon our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. To reject spiritual and bodily power, for the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of power and strength. To reject wisdom and understanding, the fear of God, our own breathing, for he is the breathing, the air of the soul. In a word, it means to doom ourselves to moral nothingness and destruction. Do not pay attention to doubts and the truth, for they are the breathing of the evil spirits, of the spirits of the falsehood and destroyer. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Doubt in the truth is always destructive to the soul. Every truth is the breathing of the Holy Ghost, the Word of God, the writings of the Holy Fathers and the teachers of the Church, the words and works of every pious person who loves the truth. Love for God and our neighbor in our present corrupt state is impossible without self-sacrifice. He who wishes to fulfill the commandment concerning love for God and his neighbor ought to devote himself in good time to great deeds and privations for the sake of those that he loves. Amen. Hereby receive we the love of God, because he, the Christ, laid down his life for us. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. St. John 15:13. God is eternally watchful, and therefore we must always pray to him with a watchful and sober mind and heart. Be ye therefore sober, and watch you unto prayer. 1 Peter 4:7. It is said, and drive away any self-forgetfulness and slothfulness from ourselves. Do not let your prayer evaporate, and only dry words remain from it, but let it breathe with the warmth of the Spirit, like moist, hot bread, just taken out of the oven. Many people pray hypocritically, and their hypocritical prayer becomes a habit with them. They do not even observe themselves, and do not wish to observe, that they pray hypocritically, and not in the spirit of truth, so that if anybody were to accuse them of praying hypocritically, they would be angry with those who dared to say, in their opinion, such an absurdity. Men do not suddenly become hypocritical, but only gradually. At first, perhaps, they prayed with their whole hearts, but afterwards, for always to pray with the whole heart is a difficult work to which we must force ourselves, and the kingdom of heaven, it is said, suffers violence. They begin to pray more with their lips superficially, not from the depth of the soul, which is much easier. And finally, at the increased assaults of the flesh and the devil, they only pray with their lips, without the power of the words of the prayer reaching the heart. There are very many people who pray thus. The Lord said to them, these people draw us nigh unto me with their mouth, and honor us me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. What is said concerning prayer equally applies to the communion of the holy, immortal, and life-giving mysteries. At first, a man communicates with lively faith, with a feeling of love and devotion, but afterwards, at the continual opposition of the flesh and the devil to the truth of God, he lets them get the victory over them and communicates hypocritically, not of the body and blood, but in accordance with the thoughts of his heart, of bread and wine. And the essence of the mystery is the spirit and life, St. John 6:63. As the Savior said, has no place, St. John 8:37, in him. He is thus inwardly robbed by Satan. May God preserve us all from such communion, from such blasphemy against the Lord. It is the same also with the sacrament of penitence. Confession is a school of self-denial for a priest. How many occasions there are in it for impatience, irritation, slothfulness, negligence, inattention. It is truly the touchstone of a priest's love for his parishioners. A priest ought not on any account to live in softness and ease, and especially must not indulge himself with sleep and pleasant food and drinks. Otherwise, the devil will strike his heart with some passion or other, and will cast him into straitness and prostration. It is necessary to crucify, absolutely to crucify the flesh. Confession for a priest is a labor of love for his spiritual children. It must be without respect of person, long-suffering, compassionate, for charity wanteth not itself. Is not popped up, seeketh not its own, its tranquility or gain, is not easily provoked, rejoices not in iniquity, or does not continue in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, covereth all things, endureth all things, never faileth. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Then it is evident, then the priest himself sees and his spiritual children see whether he is a shepherd or a hireling, a father or a stranger to his children, whether he seeks his own or Jesus or Christ Jesus. My God, how difficult it is to confess people properly. How grievously one sins before God by not confessing them properly. How weak the word grows. How many hindrances the enemy puts in our way. How obstructive the source of the word becomes in the heart. How the tongue and intellect fail. Oh, how much preparation is required for confession. How one must pray for the successful accomplishment of this great work, and what ignorance one meets with in the spiritual children. It is necessary to be with them day and night, calmly, gently, and most patiently teaching each one of them what a cross confession is for a priest, being conscious of the ignorance of those who confess to him, of their coldness, of their sinfulness of every kind, and having at the same time the consciousness of his own sinfulness, of his own infirmity, languidness, and the inertness of his heart to sympathy and to zeal for the glory of God and the salvation of his neighbor or for his own. And how many crosses the devil lays upon one during confession. He turns the work of love, the work of discourse of a father with his children into the work of a hireling with his slaves, unwillingly reckoning with them. The Lord Jesus Christ, together with his Father and the Holy Spirit, is everywhere. The angels, the saints are one spirit with the Lord. But if by the action of the evil spirit you have lost for a time hearty faith in the Holy Spirit, then during that time there is neither Son nor Father for you. For faith is given by the Holy Ghost. For the Spirit of truth, that is the Spirit of Christ, who said of himself, I am the truth, or by the Spirit of the Father, the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you, or by the Spirit of the Son, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. Galatians 4:6. Concerning the word. In the word there is the image of the most holy Trinity. For the word there is both thought and word and spirit. When praying truly with the whole heart, we feel that we are praying by the Holy Spirit. The words are penetrated by such heartily warmth, while sometimes we feel that we are praying not by the Holy Spirit, but by the spirit of falsehood. The lips say one thing and the heart feels another. Sometimes quite the contrary. For instance, we say the words with doubt in the spirit of impatience, of resentment against someone, or in the spirit of pride, of self-exaltation, not acknowledging ourselves to be that which we really are. Concerning malice, if you are angry with your brother on account of his sins, even supposing they are offensive ones, then recollect that you yourself are also not without sin, which are also offensive, although they may perhaps be of a different sort. You yourself desire that your shameful sins should be converted, covered by the indulgence, by the old sheltering love of your neighbors. Recollect how thankful you would be to them, how lovingly you would embrace them for their all-enduring love. how this indulgence would lighten your already grievous sorrows for your sins, and would strengthen your weakness in your struggle against them, would strengthen your spirit by trust in God's mercy. But that which you would desire for yourself, in such cases you must also desire for and unto your brother. He is your member and a member of Christ. Thou shalt love thy neighbor, it is said, as thyself. When judging your neighbor in the malice of your heart for his sins, always remember that you yourself are not without sin. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in your brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, truly a hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. St. Matthew 7:3-5. Besides, your brother standeth so faultless to his own master, Romans 14:4, and not to you. Then you must certainly forgive him his offenses against you, or his transgressions against you. You yourself are daily greatly in need of your own sins being forgiven you by the Heavenly Father, and you pray, forgive us as we forgive our debtors. St. Matthew 6:12. And if you wish your sins to be forgiven you, you must forgive your brother's sins against you. But if ye forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. St. Matthew 6:14-15. Our soul is single because it cannot at the same time love both God and, for instance, money, food, drink, or both its neighbor and at the same time money, food, and drink. Therefore it is said, no man can serve two masters, but either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. St. Matthew 6:24. This is why the psalmist says by the Holy Spirit, if riches increase, set not your heart upon them. True, thus Christians fear each one of you of setting your heart upon money, food, drink, dress, luxurious rooms, books, or profane music. Do not love, do not indulge the flesh by anything, either by pleasures, fine views, dainty food and drink, or by sleep, idleness and slothfulness, by shameful deeds, games, idle traveling, or frivolous books and sighs. Love the one God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your thoughts, and your neighbor as yourself, and be indifferent to everything else in the world. Do not attach yourself or be greedy after anything. Strive after singleness of everything in order to be loved by the incomplex being God. Drive away all craftiness, doubt, incredulity, and duplicity from your soul. God is life. He gave being and life to everything. He is that which is, and almighty. He, for everything proceeds from him, and everything is supported by him. Let us therefore know him who alone is. The devil is dead, because he voluntarily turned away from God and life, and as God is that which is, so the devil, by reason of his having completely fallen away from that which is the cause of that which is not. The of imagination enticement, for he cannot truly bring anything into being by the word. Thus he is falsehood, as God is truth. What air is to animal bodies and vegetations, the Holy Spirit is to the spiritual beings, to angels and men. This is why the Lord said, the Spirit blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, the breathing, but canst not tell whence it comes and whither it goes. Believe, therefore, that your soul breathes by the Holy Spirit. Know your benefactor in your life. Reverence him daily and honor him by love and good works. Avoid the deadly breathing of the devil, of the sins and passions, and especially enmity, discord, pride, and unbelief. Say to yourself oftener, my soul breathes by the Holy Spirit. May I ever glorify the Holy Ghost, together with the Father and the Son. We must always remember that man is the breathing of God's mouth and image of God, of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, while the sin and the infirmities in him are accidental, coming from without. Foul stains which can easily be cleansed by grace. Thou shalt purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Thou shalt wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. We must remember that God so loved the world, and though it is adulterous and sinful, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we must love with God as God does, every man as ourselves. We love ourselves though we are great sinners. We must also love others, though they may be sinners too, for there is no one without sin. False thoughts in the matter of faith immediately reveal themselves. They kill the life of the heart, which is a sign that they proceed from a liar, a visionary, having power of death, the devil. True thoughts show their truth by deeds. They give life to the heart, a sign that they proceed from the life-giving Spirit of God, the life itself, who proceeds from the life, the Father, and resteth in the life, the Son. By their fruits ye shall know them. Do not therefore be disturbed, or do not linger in trouble and doubt when deadly thoughts come crowding into your head and oppress your heart and your soul. They are false. They proceed from the devil, the destroyer of men. Drive them away and do not ask where from they come, these uninvited guests. By their fruits ye shall instantly know them. Do not enter into controversy with them. It will lead you into labyrinths with which you will not be able to extricate yourself, in which you will become entangled and exhausted. I love to gaze upon the image of the risen life-giver with a banner in his hand, with the symbol of victory over death and him who has the power of death. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? 1 Corinthians. What a glorious victor! What a cruel, most wicked enemy he has conquered, an enemy who glorified in his victories during thousands of years. To thee, conqueror of death, we cry, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Traparius at Matins on Palm Sunday. We glorify thee, life-giving Christ, who descended into hell for our sake, and didst raise all with thyself. Glorification at Matins of St. Thomas Sunday. In rising from tomb, Christ, thou didst raise all the race of Adam with thyself. canon at Easter. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. From this you see that an answer and a punishment awaits you for every idle word, and not only for scandalous, shameful ones. It is because that which our Lord, the all-creating word, there is not and cannot be any idle words. The word of the Lord shall not return unto him void. Isaiah 11. For with God nothing shall be impossible, St. Luke. And as we are created after God's image, therefore our words too ought not to be pronounced idly and vain, unmeaningly, but every word of ours ought to have spiritual identifying power. Let your speech be always with grace. Colossians 4:6. Therefore, be most watchful not to speak idly, unmeaningfully, neither in prayer or in conversation. How can you worthily with love and love receive the body of Christ when you desire his members or have not compassion upon them, when you despise his members and have not compassion on them? All Christians are members of Christ, and especially the poor. Love the members, have compassion upon them, and the Master will plentifully bestow his rich mercy upon you. And can any mercy be greater than that which our Savior bestows upon us in the communion of his most pure body and of his most pure blood? The words, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever," signify, "Thou alone art everywhere, and eternally reignest, O mighty and glorious King." Or, "The kingdom is, Father, the power, the Spirit, and the glory, the Son. For it is said, I have glorified thee on earth." St. John 18:4. Do not be dead at heart. Do not let your heart incline to slothfulness, to spiritual sleep, and to hardened unfeelingness. Otherwise, woe to you, when its disposition is such during God's service, which requires labor both of heart and mind. Uproot from your heart by every means both bodily and spiritual pride, which resists the Holy Ghost. It lies in your intercourse with your fellow men or during prayer. From the essence of the thinking spirit is born the word, inherent to it, which discloses the thought and is equal to it. From the thought and with the thought proceeds the spirit, resting in the word and communicating in the word to those who listen. The spirit is fully equal to the thought and to the word and is inherent to them. For instance, in the words, "I love," one sees both the loving origin and the words born from it, and one feels a kind of pleasant breathing of love. "I render thanks to the Lord my God, to God in of my salvation." During Passion Week, the enemy hindered me just before the time of confessing by striking my heart with straitness, disturbance, and evil despondency. But I prayed with my whole heart and with undoubting faith to him, to the God of my salvation, and said, "O God, my most merciful Father, thou spakest through thine only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Ask and it shall be given you, but every one that asketh receiveth. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? St. Matthew 7:7-11. Embracing by faith these thy words in my heart, I call upon thee, give unto me now the Holy Spirit, that my heart may be strengthened in performing the work of confession and the wise remission or binding of the consciousness of men, in patience and benignity, in kindly and edifying behavior with my spiritual children. And what happened, O God of mercy, I went through the whole time of confession exceedingly well. I was calm, kind, edifying, and did not experience any oppression or uneasy hurry. I glorify the merciful right hand of the most gracious Heavenly Father. Thus, it is ever necessary to strengthen oneself by heartfelt prayer to the Heavenly Father before every spiritual work, as our Lord Jesus Christ himself prayed before his manifestation of mankind, before the chosen of the apostles, and before his suffering. Do not be offended if anyone speaks or behaves insincerely to you, for do you yourself always speak and behave sincerely with others? Are you not often hypocritical? Do you always converse sincerely, not hypocritically, with God in prayer? Do not your lips often pronounce words of truth while your heart lies? Do you walk before God in sincerity and simplicity? If you yourself are not right before God and men, if you are often false, hypocritical, then do not be angry if others behave insincerely, hypocritically towards you. Wherever though a man sinneth, by the same also shall he be punished. Be indulgent to others in that in which you yourself sin. Believe firmly that the wickedness of the devil in you and in your own wickedness will never conquer the unspeakable infinite mercy of God. Great is the wickedness of the devil in you, but the mercy of God is infinitely greater. Therefore, in times of doubt, incredulity, blasphemy, malice, envy, avarice, covetousness, involuntary hypocrisy, entreat the Lord with hope, and be sure that his infinite goodness will incline him to have mercy upon you if you turn from your wickedness. Be charitable to the poor, willingly, without suspiciousness, doubt, and minute investigation, remembering that in the person of the poor you do good to Christ himself, as it is written, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." St. Matthew 25:40. Know that your charity is always nothing in comparison with man, that child of God. Know that your arms are but earth and dust. Know that any material charity must absolutely be accompanied by spiritual charity, kind, brotherly, open-hearted, loving behavior towards your neighbor. Do not let him notice that you are doing him a favor. Do not appear proud. He that giveth, it is said, let him do it with simplicity. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. See then that you do not take away the value from your material charity through not showing spiritual charity. Know that on a day of judgment the Master will test your good works too. Remember that both heaven and earth are given to man, for to him is reserved in heaven an inheritance incorruptible. For man, God the Father, did not spare his only begotten Son, but delivered him unto death. The devil hinders us in our good works through our subtlety. The words of a prayer are like rain or snow. If they are pronounced with faith and feeling, each of them contains its power and its fruit. The raindrops or snowflakes falling in the continuous streams or in isolated flakes water the ground, and it germinates and brings forth fruit. Likewise, the words of the prayer, the spiritual rain, each separately water the soul. It germinates and brings forth the fruit of the virtues cooperating with the Holy Spirit, especially if there is a rain of tears besides. Human charity is suspicious. It fears lest it may somehow give to a person who already has something, or lest it may give too much. But the Lord's charity is not like this. The Lord God to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Unto every one that has, said the Lord, shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has. Do not indulge your slothful flesh during prayer. Do not hurry. The flesh growing weary and oppressed by the holy work hasten to finish praying in order to rest or to accompany itself with the world or carnal matters.